Hi, this is Gordon Deal. The award-winning Wall Street Journal This Morning starts right after this. TrueCar.com is changing car buying forever. Yes, every day, TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Some features are not available in all states. In the first 3 months of this year, over 126,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. TrueCar users save an average of $3,078 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com and find out what other people paid for the car you're looking for. Then register at TrueCar.com to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Just print out your TrueCar savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Remember, every day, TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Save time, save money, and never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.
Live from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal, this is the Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's first news with Gordon Deal.
The deportation reality. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Gina Cervetti. Glad you're with us. Friday, July 11. Here's what's up this hour.
A new report shows that few of the Central American children flooding into the U.S. illegally are sent home. We'll identify the various reasons.
More on the IRS targeting scandal. A federal judge has ordered the tax agency to explain how it lost 2 years of emails from a top official.
Russia appears likely to extend the asylum of Edward Snowden, the former contractor wanted by the U.S. for leaking classified documents.
Trend on the campaign trail, senators avoid President Obama, governors run to him.
These are all Democrats who voted for the health care law that they're having to defend in their states. But they're all finding ways to defend their votes, their health care votes. They're less able to find ways to defend the president's leadership style and certainly sort of his popularity at this point.
Wall Street Journal reporter Reed Epstein on which senators are skipping appearances with the president and which governors are embracing him. We'll have that report later in the hour. There's a lawsuit being planned by House Republicans challenging President Obama's executive actions. GOP leaders say it'll focus on the White House's decision to waive the Affordable Care Act's employer mandate without the consent of Congress. More now from the Wall Street Journal This Morning's Mike Gavin.
House Speaker John Boehner indicated that the lawsuit would be about the division of powers between the executive and legislative branches, saying the White House decision to alter the health law violated that separation of authority. Republicans have long accused Mr. Obama and the White House of executive overreach, though the lawsuit is an unusual step that could have more significant ramifications for the relationship between the White House and Congress. While courts have traditionally held that frustrated members of Congress are not allowed to sue the White House, some lawyers believe that if a chamber of Congress authorizes such a lawsuit, they may have standing. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. Republicans were said to have considered a number of legal actions to target, including White House actions dealing with deportations and other changes to the federal health law. Ultimately, though, they decided on the so-called employer mandate, a central piece of the Affordable Care Act intended to expand insurance coverage. The IRS targeting scandal is getting messier. A federal judge has now ordered the Internal Revenue Service to explain how it lost 2 years' worth of a former official's emails and tapped a magistrate judge to find out whether the documents can be obtained from other sources. More from Wall Street Journal reporter John McKinnon on the T-Mobile hotline. John, what's the latest?
Conservative group called Judicial Watch sued the IRS a while back, trying to get a lot of records under the Freedom of Information Act. They were interested in the story that the IRS had targeted conservative groups for unusual scrutiny as they were seeking to become tax-exempt organizations. And so the IRS has begun producing records to Judicial Watch, but Judicial Watch found out about the missing emails that were in the news about a month ago, and so they've asked a judge to allow them to look into what happened to the lost emails or to try to find out himself. So on Thursday, the judge said, in effect, that he would try to get information out of the parties. He basically ordered the IRS to submit a declaration about what had happened in the case of the lost emails. And he's also appointing a magistrate, a local magistrate judge, to kind of oversee the process for the next couple months.
What's the deadline for the IRS to do this, John?
The IRS has until August the 10th to submit the declaration.
What is the magistrate going to do?
The magistrate is going to try to get the parties together. This includes Judicial Watch as well as the IRS, and essentially sit them down and try to get them to come to an understanding about what else can be done to try to find the missing emails.
We're talking with Wall Street Journal reporter John McKinnon in Washington. Any indication here that these documents could still be found, or is it assumed that they've been lost?
You know, I keep expecting people to just conclude that there's no more to be found. But the strange thing is that they keep finding more things. Like just the other day, the IRS turned over some emails to Congress. The IRS continues to turn over material to Congress, but they found an email the other day that showed that the IRS also had an instant messaging system that officials were using. And in fact, there was a very interesting email from Lois Lerner where she basically says, you know, we have to be very careful about what we say on email because Congress has been asking questions about various inquiries. And so in this email, she was also asking someone about whether their instant messaging system could be searched by Congress, in essence. And this caused a little bit of a stir because it sort of looked like Lois Lerner was at least asking about whether Congress was going to be able to find out stuff on instant messaging. Now, she said that she was asking on behalf of someone else, but it was clear that she was interested in that question.
This is a sign that questions over what did happen at the IRS are not going away anytime soon?
Oh, no doubt. I think this is going to be with us for a long time to come. It's been going on for more than a year now, and it really shows no signs of abating. And in fact, the coincidences keep piling up, and so I think it's going to be going for a while.
Thanks, John. Wall Street Journal reporter John McKinnon from Washington. 12 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Hey, here's a little something to put on your to-do list. Keep tabs on your money with the new MarketWatch radio app from the Wall Street Journal, now in Apple's App Store. A couple of exciting new apps from the Wall Street Journal. The MarketWatch radio app and also the WSJ radio app, the Wall Street Journal radio app.
Being in global sales, I never know where my job will take me. The last thing I need to worry about while traveling is outrageous data charges. That's why I switched to T-Mobile's Simple Choice for Business plan. I get unlimited text and data in over 100 countries at no extra charge. No multiple SIM cards or international data plans. I just land, turn on my phone, and it works. Switch to T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/business.
Limited time only. Subject to change. Capable device required. Standard speeds approximately 128 kilobits per second. See T-Mobile.com for details and included destinations.
Wix.com lets you easily create a beautiful professional website for free. With hundreds of stunning templates, cool features, and popular apps, you can get your business online today. Start now at Wix.com. That's W-I-X.com. Happy Friday. Welcome aboard. Here's something that may not be a surprise. New data show that the hope, drawing thousands of children across the southwest border, that they'll be able to stay in the United States, is largely a realistic hope. Wall Street Journal reporter Laura Meckler says President Obama and lawmakers face a substantial challenge in shoring up an overburdened deportation system. Laura, what have you uncovered?
A look at the court data shows that the number of people who are actually ordered removed from the country, ordered deported, is very small compared to the number of people who are coming in, even if you assume a lag of several years for their cases to be heard. So that's sort of what the data shows. And that kind of is a result of a variety of things.
Okay. So that variety might include what, for example?
Well, for instance, there's a 2008 law that's been on the books that says that children who come from countries other than Mexico and Canada, countries that don't touch the United States, cannot be sort of fast-tracked through the deportation system. They have to have their cases heard by an immigration court. Well, the immigration courts in this country are severely backlogged. It can take months just to get your initial appearance, years until your case is actually resolved. So there's just an incredible backlog in the courts. Of course, some people do apply for the ability to stay. They may qualify for asylum. They may qualify for something called a special juvenile immigrant status. There are a variety of things you can apply for that allow you to stay, and some succeed, obviously. And even those who don't succeed, it takes a while to go through that process. So people in the meantime are, for the most part, living with families and are living in the United States.
If this law was from 2008, how come we've had this surge only like in the last year and a half, 2 years?
Well, you know, it's not just because of this law that people are coming by any means. I mean, people are coming because of the situation in their countries. This is a surge that is very much dominated by three countries, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. And experts point out, you know, there's incredible gang violence, terrible conditions in these countries. And it's a push from those countries as well as a pull for what people think they can get once they come here.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Laura Meckler. So what about the relaxed deportation rules that President Obama put into effect?
As a practical matter, really, nothing that President Obama has done really affects these cases at all. What his policy has to do with is people who are living in the country and have been here for years and are sort of in the interior. His, among the priorities that he stated for deportation are recent border crossers. If you're an adult who crosses over the border, you will be deported, you know, very quickly. Sometimes within days, you'll be sent home. The issue is that there's this sort of loophole, if you will, for children traveling alone from countries other than Mexico and Canada. So then they are treated differently. So really, it's not so much Obama's policies as it is a confluence of other circumstances.
So the odds are good, then, if you're a child from one of these three countries, right? Guatemala, El Salvador, what is it, Honduras,
and
right?
Honduras,
then
yeah.
You're going to get through, or the odds are in your favor, if not automatic.
The odds are not bad, you know, and that's sort of the irony. You know, you have President Obama is trying to stem this flow and is saying, don't come, you won't be allowed to stay. In fact, you may be allowed to stay. Now, he is proposing a variety of things to try to change that, but, you know, none of those things have taken effect. He'd like Congress to give the administration authority to waive that 2008 law and, you know, expedite children more quickly at the border. But, you know, Congress has not acted on that. He would like to hire more immigration judges, which would speed things up. So there's a variety of things that he is talking about doing. So the White House is clearly aware of the problem. But as it stands right now, like you said, the chances aren't bad.
Thanks, Laura. Wall Street Journal reporter Laura Meckler in Washington. It's 20 minutes now after the hour. On the Wall Street Journal this morning, Gina Cervetti is here. She has America's First News.
Good morning. Authorities say the gunman who allegedly killed six family members in a Houston suburb posed as a package delivery driver at the home where the shootings took place.
Came in the guise of a FedEx driver wearing a FedEx shirt.
Harris County Constable Ron Hickman says 33-year-old Ronald Haskell was believed to be searching for his ex-wife, a relative of the victims. Shot and killed were Stephen and Katie Stay and four of their children. A teenage daughter survived. In Lowell, Massachusetts, investigators are looking at whether alarms sounded at an apartment building where four adults and three children died in one of that state's deadliest fires in 20 years.
I couldn't see nothing. My eyes burned. My chest burned. Like, nothing. Just want to go down. Don't want to stop. Just want to get saved. Yeah, I was scared.
Authorities are also looking into witness reports that the sound of exploding fireworks could be heard before the fire. A Mississippi child who scientists thought might have been cured of HIV has shown signs of infection again. In March, doctors said the girl who was born with the AIDS virus was free of HIV, even though she had not been treated for about 2 years. But two tests on the now four-year-old confirmed the HIV returned. Stock futures this morning are higher after worries about the health of a Portuguese bank rattled the markets, and the Dow is down about 71. NASDAQ slipped 23. The S&P lost 8. Remember Facebook's psychological experiment toying with our emotions? In the wake of that study, Ireland's data privacy watchdog says it will take a wider look at Facebook's practices to review its use of our personal information. Well, if you're a fan of HBO's medieval drama, Game of Thrones, you recognize that theme. And that show leads primetime Emmy nods this time around. Fargo and American Horror Story, both on FX, also received many nods. The winners to be announced on August 25th.
I'm not a watcher of it, but The Walking Dead was left out this year. Snubbed. I'm surprised.
That's very surprising, Gordon. I actually am a watcher of The Walkers, if you will. That's what they call them in the show, the zombies, walkers.
So that was surprising. And then my favorite, which I know is not everybody's, but I like Blue Bloods on
CBS.
Oh,
yeah.
Which
that's got a good one, isn't it?
Which got zilch.
I really like that one, too.
That's kind of like
a lot of great actors in that show.
That's the Friday night TV watching tradition for Kelly and me.
I can understand
why.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
All right. Thank you, Gina. 22 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Glad you're with us. Good Friday morning. American retailers may have more than just Mother Nature to be concerned about when it comes to sales. Big chains like Walmart and Kroger are divided over whether consumers like us have rebounded from the winter. Meanwhile, stores continue to wrestle with a long-running drop in traffic. Insight from Wall Street Journal reporter Shelley Banjo. Shelley, what's up here?
American retailers are finally admitting that maybe they have a little bit more than a weather problem. A lot of them reported a lot of bad sales in the first quarter, you know, when we had a whole bunch of bad storms and a really long winter across the country. But now, as the weather's cleared up, you know, job growth is doing well. All signs in the economy are pointing up, but retailers are still really posting pretty poor results.
All right, and that means what exactly? We are just reluctant to spend?
It's a good question. I think that shoppers are just not coming into the stores as much. The biggest problem that we're pointing to right now is traffic. So people are buying. People are spending sometimes even more money at these stores, but there are just less people walking into the stores.
Oh, all right. So they're losing out to online?
I think that's certainly part of it, that they're losing out to online. People are a lot more targeted with where they're going to make their purchases. So instead of browsing, you know, around a couple of stores or taking the day at the mall, they're researching what they want ahead of time and coming in only when they have to in order to buy something.
So are there beneficiaries of this? Like, are online sales at these stores up, or are they up somewhere else like at Amazon?
It's still early in the earnings season, so we haven't seen those retailers yet report. Online sales for a lot of these companies are still up. Online sales in general are still up, but they are slowing a bit. And so one thing that we're looking at is this continued divide between the higher income and lower income shoppers. So a lot of these companies that have been reporting are companies like Walmart and Dollar Family Dollar, Lumber Liquidators, not necessarily the high end. So it'll be interesting to see the results from higher end retailers like a Nordstrom or an Amazon to see what their results play out.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Shelley Banjo. She's got a piece about more than weather might be to blame for poor retail sales. All right, so you mentioned kind of foot traffic being the issue. Would stores be okay if people were actually just spending more and adding to the top line sales and sacrificing the foot traffic, or do they actually want the bodies?
Sure. So that's something that the Container Store actually addressed this week. The CEO, Kip Tindell, actually put it really interestingly and said, you know, the retailers and store chains are in a retail funk. And they are saying, you know what, we can try on traffic, but what we're really good at is getting that ticket price up. So they're not completely giving up on traffic and trying to get more shoppers into their stores, but they're saying, you know, that's a lot harder to do. Let's instead, once we have the customers in our stores, let's focus on getting them to spend more.
So what might that mean for folks like you and me who wander into these malls sometimes? Are we gonna be seeing noticeable differences in the way retailers market to us?
Well, it's definitely increased promotions, and that's something that has been, you know, pretty much over the past couple of years. But again, the Container Store CEO said this is the most promotional environment he's seen in his entire career. He said it's not getting better. We're starting to train Americans to only shop on promotions and deals, and you know, I think that it really is a kind of consumer's market out there.
Thanks, Shelley. Wall Street Journal reporter Shelley Banjo in New York. She says that in an effort to win back foot traffic at Family Dollar stores, where sales are down 1.8% this year, the chain plans to carry beer and wine nationally next year. 30 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Coming up next, what's trending on Google?
Flight 24 will depart from gate 39.
It's a good thing you're always ready to go.
Proceed to the gate.
After the two-week vacation in St. Thomas and the conference in New York, there was the unexpected client meeting on the coast and the middle-of-the-night call to Asia. This was all before taking the red-eye home with a delay. So it's good to know that even after weeks in airport parking, your Cadillac is also ready to hit the road. With Cadillac Certified Service, our experts keep your Cadillac as ready to go as you are.
Get AC Delco Professional Durastop brake pads installed for only $99.95 or less per axle. Includes rotor inspection, retail customers only, turning or replacing rotors, all other services, and tax extra. Visit CadillacCertifiedService.com for details, other great offers, and to find your closest Cadillac dealer.
Thanks for being with us on this Friday, July 11. Gordon Deal with Gina Cervetti. Some of our top stories. New data show the vast majority of Central American children in the U.S. illegally do not get deported. Germany kicks out America's top spy official. And the use of drones in college football. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. Time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by T-Mobile. Unleash the potential of your business with T-Mobile, the company that's changing the way business does wireless. It's time now for our weekly water cooler briefing. Google Trends expert Zaina Aston is with us here live with some of our more popular searches. Zaina, start with J.K. Rowling.
Yes, author J.K. Rowling caused a stir with fans when she posted a short story on her Pottermore website. And it offers a glimpse into Harry Potter's life decades after the end of the series. It was framed as a newspaper article about the Quidditch World Cup, interestingly parallel to our present real-world situation. Right. And it mentions Harry as a 34-year-old with strands of silver in his hair. So, you know, a lot of Harry Potter fans and fans of J.K. Rowling took to search to find out more about this. Does this mean that he's going to be coming back? Will there be more stories? And you know, what Harry's life is like now.
Very good. I know the movie trailer for Gone Girl has been popular. Let me play a clip of that.
As you all know, my wife, Amy Elliott Dunn, disappeared 3 days ago. I had nothing to do with the disappearance of my wife. I had nothing to hide.
Seems like pretty gripping stuff. Ben Affleck, right?
Yes, Ben Affleck and Neil Patrick Harris in David Fincher's film adaptation of the Gone Girl. And it was a very popular book, and this film is much anticipated. So when the trailer broke, you know, people took to search to find out more, to see the video, of course, and also to find out more about when it'll actually be hitting theaters and who the actors are.
All right, so we can't not mention this whole Britney Spears dust-up with this unedited singing that's been released of her. Here's that.
But the stars in the sky look like home. Take me home. And the light in your eyes.
All right. So, you know what? Shame on the person who did this, unless this was carefully orchestrated. I feel bad for her.
Right.
But you know what? She's no Barbara Streisand. I don't think anybody's ever, you know, tried to make that comparison. I just say, you know, she's a performer. You know, often the voice is disguised by today's electronics and stuff.
That's true. I mean, William Orbit, who produced the song, took to his Facebook page and did say that he thought this was done in a malicious way. That this leaked raw recording being out there is just mean. Someone was being mean. It is interesting, and I think a lot of the search traffic and the search trend around this is driven by people curious to find out kind of what's behind the facade, whether or not there is raw talent there, and to hear the clip.
Yeah.
It's not a great clip, that is true. but a lot of people are searching both that and the auto-tuned version of the track just to try and, you know, hear the comparison.
Right. I like that. It's not a great clip. You know what? Somebody else, I'm no music critic, but somebody else who might be in that category, Jennifer Lopez. Right? Not necessarily a great singer, but, you know, you like her for other things.
That's true. Yeah, I think there are a few of those pop star singers who a large portion of their music is that technology sound.
Yeah.
It. I mean, even, you know, Justin Bieber and Justin Timberlake, although I think he's definitely got talent, you know, there is an aspect of it that's been heavily engineered.
Right. We're speaking with Google Trends expert Zaina Aston. She's giving us a little water cooler briefing on what's been popular in terms of Google searches recently. How about this Crohn's disease bikini photo? Explain that one.
Yes, so Crohn's disease was trending as people were curious to learn more about the disease when a viral bikini photo of a woman with the disorder inspired others to bear their colostomy bags across social media. And it is to raise awareness. And it was this model, Bethany Townsend, who's 23, from the UK, who ended up wearing this bikini, midriff-bearing bikini, mm-hmm. with her colostomy bag on show. And, you know, people were curious as to what it was taking to search to find out what Crohn's disease is. And it is really raising awareness as evidenced by the Facebook page of Crohn's and Colitis UK, which has received a lot of likes on these pictures and definitely a lot of positive comments.
Yeah, well, I give her a lot of credit, but that I don't think that's something that most people can get used to doing, do you?
No, I mean, I think there is a shock factor that has drawn people to this, and I think, you know, it is helping to demystify this disease, but yeah. I think, you know, it is to raise awareness more than anything.
Yeah. All right, and finish up with Eva Mendes and Ryan Gosling.
Oh, yes, Ryan Gosling fans around the world heaved a collective sigh when the news broke that he is expecting his first child with actress Eva Mendes, and in fact, they're apparently 7 months along, so it's rather soon that she'll... There'll be a baby on the scene.
Very good. Hey, thanks for a few minutes as always. Google Trends expert Zaina Aston with us live this morning. It's 20 minutes before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Coming up next, why senators avoid President Obama, yet governors seem to flock to him. Glad you're with us. Good Friday morning. You may have noticed this trend in some political campaigns this summer if you live in certain states. U.S. senators are avoiding President Obama, but governors are not. What's up here? Wall Street Journal reporter Reed Epstein has been looking into it. Reed, what have you noticed?
President Obama is out on the campaign trail. For him this week, he stopped in Colorado to raise money for Senator Mark Udall, a Democrat who faces a tough challenge this November. And Udall stayed in Washington for votes on the new HUD secretary, Julian Castro, and other issues that his office said was more important than stopping in Denver to raise money for his own campaign with the president. Meanwhile, the president played pool with Colorado's Governor John Hickenlooper, who's also up this year, and stopped in Texas and had a visit with Rick Perry about the border. And at the same time, Charlie Crist, who's running in Florida, told our Journal colleagues there that he loves President Obama and would do anything to get him in Florida to campaign with him.
Wow. All right. So reading between the lines then, Udall's approach is that what? President Obama's a bit poisonous right now?
Well, President Obama has been fairly toxic for a lot of Senate Democrats that are up this year. Al Franken in Minnesota didn't show up when the president was there a couple weeks ago. Kay Hagan in New Hampshire didn't go to New Hampshire with the president when he visited Raleigh for an event a couple months ago. And it's really the sense that Senate Democrats are much more tied to the president's agenda than governors might be. And it's much more difficult for them to appear with the president because they have histories of votes. And of course, the president's approval ratings are pretty low at this moment. He's in the low 40s. And that's not good enough for Senate Democrats who are going to face tough challenges from Republicans in November.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Reed Epstein. He's got a piece about why senators avoid President Obama, but governors do not. What would they say, in all honesty, that they're distancing themselves from legislation the president has supported because it was legislation that these Democrats would have supported themselves and voted for, or are they distancing themselves from the individual President Obama?
It's
or
from the
leadership.
It's more from the president himself, because like you said, these are all Democrats who voted for the health care law that they're having to defend in their states. They're Democrats who voted for the stimulus package, less of a campaign point this year than health care. But they're all finding ways to defend their votes, their health care votes. They're less able to find ways to defend the president's leadership style and certainly sort of his popularity at this point.
Thanks, Reed. Wall Street Journal reporter Reed Epstein in Washington. 14 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Hey, quick reminder, from Wall Street to your street, the Wall Street Journal radio app has you covered. You can download it now. It's new. It's free. The WSJ radio app at Apple's App Store. Coming up next, America's top stories. You've got to make sure your family and finances are legally protected. So where do you turn for legal help you can trust? LegalZoom.com. They've been helping Americans with personalized wills, living trusts, LLCs, trademarks, and more for over 13 years. Call or visit LegalZoom and they'll take care of you from start to finish. It's the modern way to get legal help. To save more, enter WSJ in the referral box at checkout. LegalZoom provides legal help through independent attorneys and self-help, but they're not a law firm. Protect your family and future at LegalZoom.com. Thanks for being with us. Good Friday morning. It's 10 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is here. She has America's first news.
Good morning. Economics forecasters are trimming their projections after that almost 3% contraction in first quarter GDP. Jack Kleinhens with the National Association of Business Economics says full-year projections now are for 1.6% growth compared with an earlier forecast of 2.5%.
The probability of a recession in 2014 or 2015 is less than 25%, and that was thought to be the case by more than 90% of our respondents.
The death toll from Israel's air assault on the Gaza Strip has risen to 86 Palestinians, according to Gaza's health ministry. No Israelis had been reported killed by the hundreds of rockets fired from Gaza, but two soldiers were wounded. 33-year-old Ronald Haskell has an initial court appearance today, charged with capital murder in the shooting deaths of six family members in suburban Houston. Harris County Constable Ron Hickman.
We believe that the couple that resided in this residence, the kids belonged to them, so there were not kids of the suspect.
The victims were identified as Stephen and Katie Stay and four of their children. Another child survived. Russia is likely to extend fugitive intelligence contractor Edward Snowden's asylum status next week. That's according to an official with the State Migration Service. Today, a Russian attorney for the NSA leaker said Snowden had asked Russian authorities to extend his stay. His current residence permit is set to expire at the end of the month. Stock futures this morning moderately higher after the Dow yesterday lost 71 points. We had those worries about a Portuguese bank giving the markets the jitters. Jobless claims here were better than expected. Well, maybe a cheaper caffeine fix is on the way after futures prices for Arabica coffee hit their lowest levels in almost 5 months. That happened yesterday. And oh dear, a liquor store south of Boston, Massachusetts has quite a mess to clean up after an unwelcome guest hoofed it into the store, causing $3,000 in damage. The Boston Globe says a young deer got inside the store, knocking over some premium beverages, including a $200 bottle of Sam Adams beer.
No, not the, it went down the beer aisle?
He also went down, or she went down the fancy French wine aisle, but apparently there was no problem there. Thank goodness, right, Gordon?
Wow, how about that? I mean, if you're the owner, I mean, don't you... You got to stop the deer from going down the beer aisle. I mean, that has to be some sort of animal kingdom violation. I mean, you might have issues with humans. You don't do that to the beer aisle, though. That is...
Very unusual event.
Wow. How about that? Very good. Thank you, Gina. 7 minutes before the hour now on the Wall Street Journal this morning. TrueCar.com is changing car buying forever. Yes, every day, TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Some features are not available in all states. In the first 3 months of this year, over 126,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. TrueCar users save an average of $3,078 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com and find out what other people paid for the car you're looking for. Then register at TrueCar.com to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Just print out your TrueCar savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Remember, every day, TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Save time, save money, and never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. The notion of unmanned aircraft systems buzzing over stadiums sounds like the stuff of science fiction, but it crashed into reality recently at the World Cup, and college football coaches have been using drones for years. Here's Wall Street Journal sports writer Ben Cohen. Ben, start with the World Cup angle.
A couple weeks ago, the coach of France's soccer team in the World Cup, before one of their first games, said that he had seen a drone hovering around one of France's training sessions, and he thought that it was another team trying to spy on them. Now, this sort of set off a lot of crazy talk in the rest of the world. Everyone sort of seemed to take it with a grain of salt because it sounded crazy. But in fact, you know, some college football teams are using drones, not quite to spy on rivals yet, but for their own purposes. UCLA and Oregon State, for example, have flown recreational drones that are equipped with cameras. So basically camera-equipped tiny helicopters, you know, between 20 and 100 feet over their practice fields, because these coaches want as much practice footage as they can get, more than even they can possibly watch. And this drone gives them a new vantage point on the field, which is directly above the line of scrimmage. For years, they've been using hydraulic lifts on the sidelines and in the end zones to get aerial shots of the field. But only a drone with a camera on it sitting above the field by about 20 feet gives them access to that new vantage point, especially in practice.
Wow. And they're looking for what? Tactics here? Technique? A little bit of that?
Yeah, a little bit of everything. You know, it's not quite angles or openings or spaces on the field, these coaches say. A lot of it is technique. So this gives you a vantage point to see, for example, a lineman's hand placement on the offensive or defensive lineman that he's either trying to get past or trying to defend. It lets you see their footwork in ways that you might not be able to see otherwise. And generally, it's just a new way of looking at the game. And these coaches are always looking for new access points on the field. And this drone gives them the ability to do that.
Thanks, Ben. Wall Street Journal sports writer Ben Cohen. My alma mater, Rutgers, which is about to start playing the Big Ten, is actually going to employ a drone as a wide receiver to try to survive some of these games. For Gina Cervetti, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to the Wall Street Journal This Morning.